The reason the talker was asked to talk about was about the Salat al-Quds. And I think every Muslim knows the virtues or the basic virtues of al-Quds. And it's enough, really, as a virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the land al-Quds, al-Quds. And the word al-Quds in Arabic is a word which comes from purity or blessed. Muqaddas means blessed, it means pure, it means holy, without taint. And it's a land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with the footprints of Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an untold number of prophets to the land of Al-Quds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Quran that Al-Quds is alladhi barakna hawla. We put barakah around it. So not only is Quds blessed, but everything around it, Allah put barakah in. Which includes, according to the ulama, all of Sham. And Sham is what we now call Syria, what we now call Jordan, what we now call Lebanon, and what we now call Palestine. That is Bilad al-Sham. And that's the land that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Barakallah fi Yamanina wa Shamina. May Allah bless. So not only did Allah bless it in His Quran, but He blessed it on the tongue of His Prophet by making dua for it, and His dua is mustajab, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the land is blessed, it has barakah. And what does barakah mean? The first barakah that the scholars mentioned is the very fact that prophets were sent there in the numbers that they were sent. Because the world is a place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different areas different blessings. There are some places in which the outward blessings are very few, like the desert. The desert is a place where water is scarce, where plant life is scarce, where life itself is harsh. And yet, the dwellers of the desert live in blessing. And they themselves fall under the same category as every other believer when he hears the word وَإِنْتَعَبْدُونَ. If you attempt to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you will never finish that. That applies for a desert dweller in the empty quarter of Arabia as much as it applies for somebody living in Syria or Sham. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain areas, has placed a barakah in them that He did not place in other places. And this is called barakah makaniya. It's a barakah of the place itself. Like Allah has barakah zamaniya. There's barakah in Ramadan that doesn't exist in other times. There's barakah during the time of Hajj. There's barakah on the day of Arafah. There's barakah on the day of Jumu'ah. There's a special sa'ah on the day of Jumu'ah that has barakah. There's barakah in the last third of the night. There's barakah particularly in the time of Sahar. These are times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of some wisdom, unknown to human being, has placed a special blessing in those times. And like that, He's placed a special blessing in certain places. The Prophet said, that's the shaykh of Rihan, إِلَّا إِلَى الْأَلَى مَسْجِدْ الْحَرَامِ وَمَسْجِدْ هَذَا وَمَسْجِدْ الْأَقْصَى. That do not, the saddles are not harnessed on horses or camels, generally a rahila, the camel, is not harnessed to go to any places except three for ibadah. People go to seek knowledge, go to visit a relative or something. But for ibadah itself, Allah has limited the places to go to in three places. The Masjid al-Haram, which is in Mecca, the Masjid of the Prophet in Medina, and Bayt al-Maqdis. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that place. Now, if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, entitled this Surah, Surah al-Isra, is also called Surah Bani Israel. It has that name as well. The Surah of Israel is also the Surah of Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tanzihatahu subhanahu alayhi asra bi abdihi. Glory to the one exalted is the one beyond description. Asra bi abdihi laylan. The ulama, they say, why does Allah repeat laylan when Sara is to travel in the night? Asra bi abdihi means he took him by night. Without saying laylan, it means he took him by night. Asra bi abdihi means he took him by night. So the ulama asked, why does Allah say laylan? Imam al-Zarqashari said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said laylan to emphasize the fact, not only did he take him at night, but in a portion and a small portion of the night. A journey that took the Arabs 40 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that place in one portion of a night. Laylan. Not the lay, laylan, a portion of the night. The tankir or the indefiniteness is for a portion of the night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken according to the hadith, and we believe in his body. Not in his ruh, like some people like the Mu'tazila and others have said, we believe that he was taken in his blessed body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hijrah of Ismail in one riwayah and from his own house in another, and some say that there were two different occasions. The point being is that he went in his blessed body to the Masjid al-Aqsa. When he went there, first he saw Musa alayhi salam on his way in his grave. When he went to the masjid itself, he prayed and looked and did not know, because he saw all of the prophets who were sent to human beings before him, all of them. And he looked, and you can imagine in your own mind the extraordinary state to be a human being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be taken in a supernatural way from your own homeland to a place that you've never been. He's been to Sham, but he has not been to Beit al-Maqdis, even in his youth. And then to be in a masjid and see all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assembled before you, and you are the Sayyid. You are the one that's being told, lead them in prayer. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an Arabian prophet from the deserts of Arabia, is told, commanded to lead every messenger that was sent to humanity in prayer. To show his rahmah, not only to those messengers, but to people who would come after. Because we're told this, and it's true. And he led them in prayer. Our messenger led them in prayer. Isa prayed behind him, Musa prayed behind him, Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed behind him. They prayed behind him. And in fact, Isa alayhi salam is considered, unlike the others, to be a Sahabi. Yu'latubi, Sahabiyun afdalu min Abi Bakr, a Sahabi who's better than Abu Bakr. Because Isa was alive, he was, had not died. So he saw our messenger in a living state. Not in a hayabaytahiyya, in another state. Alayhi salam. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, why? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. To show him from our signs. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam said that he was shown the malakut as samawat wal ard. Ibrahim alayhi salam was shown the malakut as samawat wal ard. The ulama say that the vision that the Prophet was given on that night is greater than what Ibrahim was given, because he said, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, from our sign. And in the verse, from our greatest sign. So the Prophet was given these signs, and Allah is as-Sami' al-Basir, the hearing and the seer of all things. وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. After Allah describes his Isra, he takes us to Musa. And there's a secret in here that's been pointed out by some of the Mufassirin, is that it is Musa alayhi salam who honored our Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, and he was honored by our Prophet in that he met with him, and each time Musa said, go back to your Lord and ask for taqlid, because he was given 50 prayers.
And Musa alayhi salam shaqan, because he's his brother. Out of love and compassion for you, see, he said, you can't, your uncle won't be able to do it. And look, that's the truth. Look at the truth. Think today, this day, when so much of the Ummah has left the prayer, and even those who pray don't give it great consideration. Think, as we've been given 50 prayers to pray every day, people can barely keep 5 prayers, the ones who are keeping them. Musa alayhi salam said, go back and tell him. Each time he came back, he said, go back, until it was 5 prayers with the reward of 50. And so Allah reminds us here, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. We gave Musa the book. Musa was given a book before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was given the Torah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. We made this a guide for Bani Israel. We're being reminded in the Quran here, this is Surah of Bani Israel, that these people were rightly guided. Allah is saying that these people were people of Islam, that they had guidance and they were given it to it by a great messenger, one of the Ulul Azmi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِ وَكِيلًا. You were given this guidance in that you don't take others beside me as a wakil. You don't think anyone as a protector beside me, that I alone, and this is Tawheed, and this is what every prophet came to give their Ummah, is Tawheed. When you tawakkal ala Allah, if you want to trust, then trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's this is the Tawheed that the Jews were given. Dhurriyata ma'amalna ma'nuh. This is the dhurriya that came from the offspring of Nuh himself, alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Not only was Nuh the one that you come from, but remember who your father was. He was a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars, the Mufassirin say that when Nuh alayhi salam ate, he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani wa ma ada'ani. Praise be to the one who fed me and didn't make me hungry. When he drank, he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi saqani wa lam wa ma adba'ani. Praise be to the one who gave me drink and didn't make me thirsty. When he went to do his qada al-hajjah, when he left, he said, Ghufranaka alhamdulillah alladhi razaqani ladatuhu wa qadiya quwwatuhu wa adhab anni adahu. Nuh alayhi salam was Abd Shakur. He was a grateful servant. And Shakur is Sirah Mubalagha. It means one who is in a constant state of gratitude. And gratitude is a shukr sarfal abdi ma'ulahu, ma'ulahu min ni'mahu fi ridahu. Shukr is that you use the gift that Allah has given you in what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you. That is gratitude. Gratitude is you use the eye for what it was created for. You use that hand for what it was created for. You use the foot for what it was created for. Every ni'mah that Allah has given you, you use it for what it was created for. That is shukr. And that is what Nuh did. And he's reminding not only us, but Bani Israel. Who they're from. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. We have qadayna here. It does not mean like many people think. Qadayna is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, awhayna. We reveal to you, in other words, we informed you in the book that you were so corrupted, that the siddunna bin awhim awhayna, that you were so corrupted 2 times in the earth. In your book, it doesn't mean that only so corrupted twice. What they're being told here is that you were told at the 2 times that you were so corruption in your own book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that you will be exalted. وَلَا تَعْلُونَ عُلُومَ الْكَمِيرَةِ. You will be exalted in the earth in a great way. Raised up, put high in the earth. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدَ أُولَاهُمَا. When the wa'd of the first two comes. And they differ on this again. Some say the Babylonian occupation, if you read the Mufassirin, they differ. And even the great Mufassirin, they say, there's no point in the exact historical time. It's irrelevant. If Allah wanted to tell us it was Bahr Nasr, or it was the time of the death of Zachariah, or it was the time the Romans destroyed the temple, he would have told us. It's irrelevant to the point, because we're being told a message here, that these people, they showed corruption in the earth, after being given guidance. After being given guidance, they showed corruption in the earth, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَعَدْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. We sent to you, and again, Allah did not send them as if This is no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says ba'athna, we sent, He means that we left them to destroy you. That we did not defend you because you weren't people of justice. You weren't people of the Torah. You weren't people of shukr, like your father and Musa alayhi salam before you. You weren't deserving to be protected. And so we left them to take you. And this is what happened. They went into their homes, pulled them out of their homes, just like you're seeing our brothers and sisters being pulled out of their homes. Pulled out of their homes by kuffar. And the ulama say this is a warning to the Muslims. This ayah is a warning to the Muslims. These were people who were given a Torah. They were given guidance. They had a prophet. They were people of Islam Zuriyah. And yet they disobeyed Allah, they sow corruption in the earth, and look what happened to them. Despite the fact that they were the Muslims of that time, lest we forget, the Jews were the Muslims of that time when all of that tribulation was happening to them. Lest we forget. And this is what happened to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. This is something that was inevitable. You were told that it would happen. This is something that you were told. You were given the information. ثُمَّ رَدَّنَاكُمْ أَكْرَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْزَدَنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْرَةَ نَفِيرًا. And then, we gave you back your strength. Kara is to come back, to rebound after you've been pushed down. We gave you the Kara. We put you back up again. We gave you power. We gave you dominion. Look at the Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us the Mongols. And look what they did to us. Look at Baghdad. Look what happened. The river was red from the blood of Muslims. Why? Because they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah gave us the Torah a second time. He gave us again. The Mongols themselves became Muslims. They themselves created great Islamic civilization. This happened to us. And the Prophet said, you will follow the Jews. You will follow them. You will go exactly down the path that they went. And what happened to them will happen to you. They are an ibrah for us. We should be learning lessons. We should be seeing what this all means to us as an ummah. Wallahi, and get out of victimization mentality. We have to get out of this mentality. It destroys us. It disempowers us. It makes us people that can do nothing. When we see these people as that they have power, they have not only what Allah said, they have no strength and they have no power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Put the people in the distance." They have humiliation and they have poverty. The Jews, Allah says this about them in the Quran. I am not open, wherever they go, that this is their condition. Illa bihadrin min Allah wa hadrin min al-nas. Except with a hadr, with the means from Allah. Allah is the one that gives them that power. Allah alone, just as He gave it, He'll take it away. And we have a promise from our Messenger of Allah that their days are numbered. And we should know that. Their days are numbered. But who are the people that are going to rise up? Who are the people that are going? Really? Who are they? We want to know. Who are they? They're not the people that have the descriptions of the Muslims now. If you go and travel in the Muslim land, if you go to the Muslim land and look at the condition of the Muslims now, these are not the people. People that can be bought and sold. People that can be bought with a job with the United Nations. We have a Sudanese man who was working in the Sudanese government when the American CIA went to work out a deal with him. They said, what would you like in order to help us? He said, I want a job in Geneva. There's nothing funny about it. We should be weeping. A man who sells his ummah for a job in the United Nations? Think about that, people, really. Think about what that means. A man who sells his ummah for a job in Geneva so he can drive a fancy car for how long? So he can dine in a hotel for how long? So he can have a nice supper? For how long? For how long? How long does it go? How many appetites can you fulfill? How many women can you go with? How many men can you go with? How many foods can you eat? For how long? And then what? Then what happened after? This is our ummah. It's for sale. It's for sale. We have the mufti of a book has to make a fatwa that any Palestinian who sells We have to have our mufti to tell us that? To sell your house to a Jew? A place that's what? For this Ummah? Bayt al-Maqdis is an Ummah and it's strong, that the whole thing is a what? The whole thing is a what? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't buy it or sell it. The Jews know that. It's illegal in Haraf Allah, in their own law. Their rabbinical law, it is illegal to sell to a non-Jew any plot in the land of Israel. And we can't work that out. We can't work out what it means. Really, this is a message to us. Now look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving you wealth and children, and we made you stronger than your enemy, in accentum yanfusikum. If you do good, you do it for your own selves. You're not doing it for Allah. Allah doesn't need your good. He doesn't need your ihsan. Raviyun anhu. If you do good, ayyuhal muslimun, you do it for your own selves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَ سَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. And if you do bad, it's for your own self. It doesn't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسْرُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And then the second time when it happens, what great trouble will come to your faces when that happens again? And it happened. They destroyed the temple. They threw them out. They were exiled to Babylon. They lost the... Could you imagine the Muslims? Think about this, people. Could you imagine the Muslims being chased out of Mecca by their worst enemies? And then we can't go to the Kaaba. Think about this. We can't go to the Kaaba. We can't look at it. We have to sit and weep like they weep at the wailing wall because they don't have their temple. And this is what happened to these people. And this is what the Muslims are being warned about. Just as they came the first time, when you tafiru, ma'alu tafira, and then they would bring down all your exaltation, all your correction, all the high things, they'll just raise you to the ground. Nothing left. Nothing left. Asa rabbukum an yarhamukum. Perhaps your Lord will show mercy. Maybe if you make tawbah, become Muslim, return to your guidance, Allah will show mercy to you. The Bab of Tawbah is open to the Muslims until the sun rises in the west. It's open for us to come back to this deen at any time. To return to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time as an ummah, not as individuals. An individual tawbah does not benefit a people. We have to make tawbah as an ummah. Wallahi, we have to make tawbah as an ummah. A complete tawbah. This ummah has to turn from the path of destruction to the path of righteousness. We have to make a 180-degree turn from the dunya, which takes you to despair, to the akhirah, which takes you to joy in the dunya as well. Not only will you enjoy your dunya, but you will get your akhirah. As we head down this path of dunya, we see destruction coming. This is, wallahi, sometimes I think that what we see there is because those people are closer to Allah than we are. That's what I see. They're getting their dunya in this world being purified. What's waiting for us in the akhirah? These people are getting it all taken care of now. Wallahi, they're getting it taken care of now. What's going to happen in the akhirah to the Muslims who live lives of profligacy, who live lives of wantonness, who live lives of waste, of gratuitous consumption, driving fancy cars, and doing all this dunya for what? What's going to happen to those people when the suffering of the ummah is in every place? We have people that say, I'm studying medicine. Why? To benefit the ummah? Well, it's a fard kifaya, brother. So for what? So you can serve, cut off hemorrhoids from kuffar because they sit in their offices all day? That's serving the ummah? Just say you love dunya. I don't have a problem with you. But don't tell me, fard kifaya, or... Just say you love dunya, you want a Mercedes-Benz, you want to live in a nice place, and you enjoy your life, that's fine. Really, it's